The title of this afternoon's message is The Scarlet Woman. Our text is found in Revelation 17, 1 through 6. Revelation 17, 1 through 6. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Chapter 16 tells of the pouring out of the seven vials of God's wrath on this wicked world by the seven angels. And in these vials, God's wrath is said to have been done or finished. We would expect that the next subject in this book would be the return of Christ to the world. But we're not told of his actual return until chapter 19. In the meantime, we have an interlude in the narrative in chapters 17 and 18. Twice already in Revelation, we have been told of the fall of Babylon. I mentioned this last time, Revelation 14, 7 and Revelation 16, 19. This 17th chapter of Revelation, along with chapter 18, deals in detail with this interesting and very solemn subject. Chapters 17 and 18 will define just what Babylon is. 2,600 years ago, the prophet Jeremiah preached about the literal city of Babylon, and the language of our text and the rest of chapter 17 alludes to Jeremiah's words in Jeremiah 51, 7, which we'll read in just a moment. In this interlude in chapters 17 and 18, one of the seven angels with the seven vials comes to John and explains to him further about this Babylon that has just been mentioned in Revelation 16, 19, the latter part of the verse. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God, to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. In our text, a great whore is shown to the Apostle John, and he is told that this great whore, this scarlet woman, is Babylon. Our text is a transition from the vials of God's wrath to this scarlet woman and what she represents. In this text, the angel tells John three things in relation to this great whore, this scarlet woman. First of all, we read in verses 1 and 2 about the angel's announcement. Here this angel came and spoke with John and told him to come with me and I'm going to show you a woman. This angel was one of the seven who had the seven vials of God's wrath and who poured them out on this earth. Look at verses 1 and 2. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now the subject of this angel's announcement to John was a woman that he called the great whore, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. In Scripture, the term woman, when not connected to a name, is often the symbol of a religion, or the symbol of religion in general. An example of this is seen in Jeremiah 3, 8, and 9, where Israel's religious system is referred to as a woman. Look at Jeremiah 3, 8, and 9. Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Often, a religious system is referred to as a woman. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. And it came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. So keep in mind that in this case, this woman is talking about a religious system. Now, God's word calls the use of images and sensual things in worship whoredom. It is spiritual adultery. It is spiritual fornication. And we shall see as we go along that the scarlet woman is a spiritual harlot made up of all the heathen practices taken from ancient Babylon, and it includes all cults and religions. Calling her the great whore is an obvious reference to spiritual adultery. And this immediately identifies her as an apostate religious system unfaithful to the Lord. And I believe we'll see this more and more as we go along. Verse 2 speaks of the spiritual fornication committed with her by the kings of the earth, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. This scarlet woman, who is Babylon, represents a vast system of religious error, already in existence in our day, by the way, and so much like true Christianity that many will not be able to distinguish between the counterfeit and the genuine. The word drunken here means literally passionately intoxicated. And it has reference to being intoxicated with Babylonianism. It is a spiritual intoxication. In Jeremiah 51:7, the prophet Jeremiah is speaking of the literal city of Babylon in his day. Maybe we ought to turn to that because this scripture is alluded to several times in these next two chapters. Jeremiah 51 and verse 7. Jeremiah 51:7. The prophet Jeremiah is speaking of the literal city of Babylon in his day here. Jeremiah 51:7. Babylon has been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore, the nations are mad. Now, if you can remember that verse, you'll see that again and again it's alluded to in the language of our text. The words in verse 2 of our text are an allusion to Jeremiah's words that we just read. The wine of this scarlet woman's fornication makes the nations drunk on idol worship and all the things that go with it, like praying to Mary and baby baptizings. She makes them drunk with this so that she can rule over them. All on earth who are unbelievers during the tribulation will be caught up in this final religion. Next, in verses 3 and 4, we have the great whore described. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. You see the allusion to that Jeremiah 51, even in this. In verse 3, the angel carries John away into the wilderness. Now, this wilderness into which this angel took John is obviously a spiritual wilderness. Wherever there is spiritual fornication, wherever there is idolatry and all of the sensual things that go along with it, there is a desert of spiritual waste and desolation. This scarlet woman and the vast religious system that she represents was in the wilderness. She was out of touch with the fountain of life and was spiritually dead. Verse 3 tells us what this great whore was doing when the angel showed her to John. She was sitting on the back of a scarlet-colored beast, and this beast was full of names of blasphemy. We've already learned the identity of the beast. He's been referred to several times already in the book of Revelation. This beast upon which she was sitting is the Antichrist and his system, his government, his kingdom. He's the last political ruler of this world. He's described in detail in the 13th chapter, verses 16 through 18. His seven heads and 10 horns identify him as the Antichrist. Look at Revelation 13:1 here. Revelation 13:1. Revelation 13 is the chapter that reveals and describes the Antichrist in some detail. But look at verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the names of blasphemy. So that identifies this beast as the Antichrist. The 10 horns are, the scripture tells us, are 10 kings. And they represent the 10 kingdoms that will arise sometime after the empire of Rome would be broken up. And we read about this in Nebuchadnezzar's vision of the great image in the book of Daniel. Remember, the great image had the head of gold and the arms and chest of silver and the loins of brass and the legs of iron and the feet iron mixed with clay. And those feet had 10 toes. Those 10 toes correspond with the 10 kings here and the 10 kingdoms. Read about it in the book of Daniel. Verse 3 says that this beast will be full of names of blasphemy. Other scriptures tell us this has reference to Antichrist. Now, this beast will be characterized by blatant, unashamed blasphemy. Isn't primetime TV characterized with blatant, unashamed blasphemy today? That's not who this beast represents, but that just came to mind. He will deliberately and openly oppose the things of God. Turn to 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4. Describes this Antichrist as actually claiming to be God. Paul is talking about the coming of Christ in this passage. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's the Antichrist claiming to be God. This beast or Antichrist will take, not only will he oppose God and say derogatory things against God, but he will also take God's names to himself. Look at Daniel 7:25. He talks against God, and then he takes God's name to himself. Daniel 7:25, "And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and dividing of times." Let me throw something in free here. The Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist will think, and the Antichrist in person will think to change times and laws. It's already happening. Did you know that in the scientific world, they no longer divide time between B.C. and A.D.? Did you know that? They say, B.C. means before Christ. A.D. means Anno Domini, or the year of our Lord. That's Latin for the year of our Lord. Modern science has changed B.C. to B.C.E., before current era. And it's the other one, I've forgotten what it is, but it's the same way. They've taken Christ out of it. They've changed the times. They're changing the times. Now look at Daniel 11:36. Daniel 11:36. We're talking about the blasphemy of this beast, the Antichrist. And Daniel 11:36 says, "And the king shall do according to his will." And this is talking about Antichrist. "And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall come." Now in verse 3 of our text, this beast is called a scarlet-colored beast, and there is much in this scarlet color. Scarlet, first of all, is the color of royalty and wealth in the scriptures. Kings wore scarlet. Big shots wore scarlet color. It's also sometimes the color of sin. And it's also the color of blood. Well, based on this descriptive color, John MacArthur has said that Antichrist will be a royal, rich, sinful, and bloody beast. He sums it all up in one sentence there. The scarlet woman was seen riding on this beast, meaning she was controlling the Antichrist and his government. You ever ridden a horse? Everybody ought to have that experience once. It's almost as much fun as riding a camel. One who rides a horse controls that horse. That's what the bit and bridle and the reins are for. And the one riding the beast will control the beast. This scarlet woman promotes her cause by exerting controlling influence over the Antichrist and his kingdom. She will use the beast for her own ends, but all the while, she doesn't know it, but all the while the beast is going to be using her to promote his goals. This will be what today we would call a uniting of church and state, an alliance of religion and politics. The Roman Catholic Church has always been a political power. She always seeks the uniting of the Catholic Church with whatever state happens to be the nation that she's in. But the Lord Jesus means for church and state to be separate. His churches must never form unholy political alliances. Our nation claims to believe in the separation of church and state. You know, for liberals, that's only when it's convenient for them, you know. But we claim to believe in the separation of church and state. And yet our president, starting with Ronald Reagan, continued to appoint ambassadors to the Vatican. Now, brother, if there was ever a blatant abuse of separation of church and state, that's it. For a while during the tribulation, this scarlet woman and the beast we'll go hand in hand. She'll be riding on his back, so to speak. You understand this is all figurative. In verse 4 of our text, John describes the appearance of this great whore. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. This woman is dressed and adorned in purple and scarlet and gold and precious stones and pearls, and she had a cup in her hand, a golden cup in her hand. First of all, her dress was characterized by the colors purple and scarlet. In Scripture, these are colors that are associated with wealth and royalty, as I said a moment ago. For example, look at Daniel 5:29. Daniel chapter 5 and verse 29. These two colors are associated with royalty and wealth. Daniel 5:29. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now note, the king kept his promise to Daniel here that he would give him royal status and wealth if he could interpret his dream. Daniel did interpret that dream, and so this is the reward, royalty and wealth. A chain of gold. You ever looked at the prices of these gold chains that some of these young people wear? It's shocking how much that costs. That's a sign of wealth. This scarlet woman's dress was royal and rich. Purple and scarlet are the colors of popes and cardinals, are they not? Scarlet is also a color that's associated with sin in Scripture. Look, for example, at Isaiah 1:18. Isaiah 1:18. Scarlet is associated with sin sometimes in Scripture. You know this verse. Everyone ought to have it memorized. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. As I said earlier, scarlet is also associated with blood in Scripture. This scarlet woman was adorned with gold and jewels and pearls, symbols of great wealth. This gold, jewelry, and pearls are the flaunted symbols of papal wealth and glory. You know, what do you see when the Pope appears in public? Sometimes he's got on white, but many times he's got on a purple robe. The cardinals are all standing around in their scarlet robes. And he's got that hat that he's got, that crown, it's got jewels all over it. The golden cup in this whore's hand is said to be full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Abominations in Scripture is a symbol of idolatry and all the vile practices that go along with it. For example, look at 2 Kings 23:13. 2 Kings 23:13. Three idols and their associated practices are called abominations here. 2 Kings 23:13. And the high places that were before Jerusalem, which were on the right hand of the Mount of Corruption, which Solomon the king of Israel had builded for Ashtoreth, the abomination of the Zidonians. Ashtoreth is one of those idols that came out of Babylon and was worshipped in the times of apostasy. And for Chemosh, the abomination, the idol of the Moabites, and for Milcom, the abomination, the idol of the children of Ammon, did the king defile. Now look at Ezekiel 16:36 and 37. Ezekiel 16, 36 and 37. Again, we're looking at what the scripture means by abominations and also by filthiness. Thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms with thy lovers and with all the idols of thy abominations and by the blood of thy children which thou didst give unto them, behold, therefore, I will gather all thy lovers with whom thou hast taken pleasure and all them that thou hast loved with all them that thou hast hated. I will even gather them round about against thee and discover thy nakedness unto them that they may see all thy nakedness. You see, he speaks of idolatry and the sensuality that goes with it as abominations and filthiness. And the filthiness in this woman's cup is the sin. Think about the sin that's in this scarlet woman's cup today. Indulgences. You know what an indulgence is? You can pay the church a fee and automatically be forgiven in advance of some sin that you want to commit. When I was in Mexico about 5 years ago with Daniel Chamberlain, we went to the celebration of our Mother of Guadalupe, our Mother the Virgin of Guadalupe. There were probably 2 million people out in the streets in that thing. And right up in the main, right up on the main cathedral where we went, there was this huge banner, probably as tall as from the choir floor all the way up to the point up there. Had a picture of the current Pope on there. And it said, purchase an indulgence and you may win an indulgence for life. And so if you bought this indulgence, it was like a lottery or a raffle, then you would get one that you could commit any sin the rest of your life and be forgiven by the church. That's part of the filthiness in this cup, in this religious system. That filthiness includes forced celibacy. No wonder they have such perversion in their ranks. It includes life in the convents, life in the monasteries, all of these things that characterize the church at Rome. Only one system of religion can fit the description given this whore in our text, and that is Roman Catholicism. Now, I'm not saying that this woman is Roman Catholicism, but she's certainly dominant in it. She's included in it. Now, the third thing this angel shows John in this text is the character of this scarlet woman in verses 5 and 6. Verse 5 describes the religious nature of this scarlet woman. That's interesting. A scarlet woman, a whore, who is religious. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Revelation 17, 15 says, this woman sits on the waters, which means she dominates the nations in her rule. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And then this woman has her name written in her forehead. And that name is Mystery Babylon the Great. And the rest of chapter 17 interprets what this name means. Now, there's a book that's been written. If you ever get a chance to get it or read it, it's well worth the time. And I had it in my library, and that's one of the sacrifices I had to give up in retirement. But Alexander Hislop, H-I-S-L-O-P, a British author, wrote a book called The Two Babylons. And in this book, he points out that all false religion began in the ancient city of Babylon. He points out that the ancient Babylonian religion involved many mysteries, and these have been assimilated into Catholicism and other religions around the world. In other words, all false religions came out of Babylon. That's the point of this book. One of these mysteries that came out of Babylon was the cult of the mother and the son. Now, we can find this all through the Bible. It's just that sometimes we don't understand what it's talking about. But I think maybe I can explain it. The mother in this Babylonian cult was Astarte. That name appears often in the scriptures. Another name for the same idol is Asheroth. So the mother was Astarte or Asheroth, and the son was Baal, or sometimes called Tammuz, T-A-M-M-U-Z. This cult of the worship of the mother and son spread throughout the world until in Judah in 600 B.C., the mother was worshiped as, quote, the queen of heaven. Look at Jeremiah 44, 17, and then we'll look at verse 25. Jeremiah 44, 17. In this chapter, Jeremiah bitterly denounced this cult of the mother and the son. But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the queen of heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings, and our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil. Now look at verse 25 in that same 44th chapter. Verse 25. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives have both spoken with your mouths and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the queen of heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her. Ye will surely accomplish your vows and surely perform your vows. Roman Catholicism now worships Mary. You know what they sometimes call her? The queen of heaven. They have assimilated this mother and son cult into their religion. Thus, the influence of Babylonianism has come into Catholicism. In Hyslop's book on page 359, he quotes a famous Catholic cardinal, John Henry Newman, in his book, The Development of the Christian Religion. And in this book, he admits that, quote, temples, incense, oil lamps, holy days, processions, sacerdotal vestments, tonsure, images are of pagan origin, unquote. That's a Catholic cardinal, one of their most famous cardinals, admitting that many of their practices are of pagan origins. We'll go one better. They are of Babylonian origin. Part of this scarlet woman's name is Mother of Harlots and Abominations of the Earth. And this name says that this scarlet woman is a mother. That's not something we usually think of, but it happens. Her title, Mother of Harlots, indicates that other religious systems, other false religious systems, have come out of her. The religious system called the Scarlet Woman is also called Babylon, and she has daughters. Many false religions and wicked practices have come out of this false religious system called Babylon. This woman and all of her daughters who come out of her, by the way, who came out of Rome? The Protestants came out of Rome. All of her daughters who came out of her, Protestants and cults, all of the cults ultimately came out of Rome. All of them together with the other world religions, I submit, will make up this Scarlet Woman. I believe there's going to be an ecumenical movement that is so great that all the world religions are going to be taken into it. And Rome will be dominant, according to this scripture. Protestants came out of this Scarlet Woman. She was the mother of their churches. That's not to say that Protestants are not saved, of course. Some of the greatest Christians were Protestants. We don't deny that. But their system came out of Rome. And, you know, the Lutherans, for example, they kept their gold crosses and their statues and their holy days and all of this. Church of England, same way. All of these daughters, I submit further, will eventually go back into this false religious system called Babylon and the Scarlet Woman. And they will form the ultimate ecumenical religion. The ecumenical movement today is moving all false forms of Christianity back into this system of error from which they originally came. Everything possible is being done today to break down every doctrinal and moral barrier and to bring all churches and all religions into unity. Isn't that so? That's so. In the end, all religions will evidently come together in one religious system, and this system will be Babylon, and Babylon will evidently be dominated by Romanism. In verse 6, the angel tells John about this woman's treatment of God's people. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. John points out that while the world becomes drunk with lust for this scarlet woman, lust for her religion, this harlot, on the other hand, becomes drunk with the blood of God's people. She was drunk not from drinking alcohol, but with the blood of the saints. Now, the verb that's translated drunken here means literally continuously drunken. Rome has, for the past 1,500 years, been a persecuting power, grossly mistreating and murdering those who refuse to conform to her teachings. Some historians estimate that the Roman Catholic Church has killed more than 50 million Baptists and other people who have disagreed with her religion. Their great sin was disagreeing with Roman Catholicism. Several years ago, many years ago now, Brother Monty Jones and I and Brother David Anderson and Brother Sean Baker visited Mexico. And we were looking at the work of one of our missionaries down there. And we were going door to door, passing out tracts, trying to witness to people. And we were attacked with stones by a group we later learned had been egged on by the village Catholic priest. They hit us. They threw rocks the size of softballs at us. And a couple of us took a couple of blows. That was egged on by the village priest. And reason we know that, Brother Danny Roten was the missionary, and he was there several weeks later, and he asked around, and the people told him that. This verse indicates that during the tribulation, the martyrdom of God's people will come at the hands of the Scarlet Woman, apostate religion, as well as from the beast. Look at Revelation 19:2 here. Revelation 19 and verse 2. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. So the martyrdom comes from this false religious system, as well as from the Antichrist, who will kill everybody that doesn't have the mark. Well, let's look now in conclusion at John's reaction to this vision in the latter part of verse 6. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now, this phrase, I wondered with great admiration, can literally be translated, I was amazed with great amazement. I was amazed with great amazement. John didn't say this when he saw the beast. You know, we would have thought when you saw that monstrosity, you would have been amazed with a great amazement. He didn't say that there or anything else that God revealed to him about the future. But he did say it here when he saw this false religious system revealed. This is a revelation of the development of the course of religion in this world, and this is what John was amazed about. Dr. W. A. Criswell wrote an excellent book, and it shows how broad-minded I am. He was a Southern Baptist, but he wrote a great book on the book of Revelation, and he said that John was shocked here because the Christianity that he knew was poor and humble and hunted and hounded and hated. The Christians that John knew were poor and persecuted. But this scarlet woman was rich and dressed in scarlet and purple, and she had precious stones and pearls, and she controlled the government. This vision of false Christianity was so shocking to John that he wondered with great admiration. He was amazed with great amazement. This is one of the most amazing prophecies in the Word of God. It can be verified today in both history and the daily news. Let us pray. Our Father, we're thankful today for the book of Revelation and the warnings that it gives for the way that this world is moving. We're thankful to be in on the plans that you have for this world. Father, we pray for those here who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today your Holy Spirit would bring them to repent of their sins and trust in Christ for eternal salvation. We pray these things in Christ's holy name and for His sake. Amen.